When you think about the state of Arizona, a lot of people think of the Grand Canyons, snakes, scorpions, and cactus, things that sting and bite you and are poisonous. And although it's true, Arizona is a very breathtakingly beautiful state with its stunning sunsets and its mountainous and high desert landscapes. Its breathtaking lightning storms from its monsoon seasons during the summer. And perhaps I'm a little biased. This is the state where I was born and raised and was given my first paranormal experience. But it is filled with life, history, and culture that, to me, I found very unique in so many different ways. And beneath it all is another story, another life, an afterlife, filled with apparitions and spooks and stories. We're going to take a look at that as we venture in the sweetheart state of Arizona. I am your host, the Paranormal Pilgrim. This is the Land of the Shadow People. Welcome back to the Land of the Shadow People podcast. As I said before, I'm your host, the Paranormal Pilgrim. If this is your first time, welcome. And if you're a regular listener, I'm real glad you came back for another episode. As we talk today about the haunts and apparitions and ghost stories of the great state of Arizona. Before we go on, don't forget to click like, subscribe, and share. You guys are my marketing team, as I usually say. And so I appreciate every time you guys do that. I appreciate the comments. I've recently got some stories written in. And so I'm looking forward to adding those before Halloween kicks in. And possibly another interview if this weekend goes well. So hopefully it does. If not, we will get some interviews in. Otherwise, if you do have a story, The Paranormal Pilgrim, protonmail.com, and we will get your story online, whether it's read by myself or somebody else who does a great job at storytelling. We will get it out there. Otherwise, let's get going and rock and roll. So at the beginning of my intro, I gave some beautiful descriptions, I think, of what is my birth state. And that's a beautiful state, filled with a lot of history, a very unique culture that I think is very well blended between American and Mexican culture, as well as others that really come together and becomes a very unique blend that I call the Arizona culture. And I actually love the fact that I grew up in such a culture, because moving to Wisconsin, you don't have that kind of culture. It's a lot different, be it that only lived an hour away from the Mexican border, so it makes it a little bit different. But I can definitely appreciate the fact that I've grown up in such a unique culture. Arizona has a very unique history of being a territorial state, with some popular historical things such as the OK Corral, the Cowboys, Wyatt Earp and his brothers, Billy the Kid, although at the time all part of what is considered the territory of New Mexico. Some of you were probably baffled that I called Arizona the Sweetheart State. And the reason why it's also called the Sweetheart State, other than the Grand Canyon State, is that it was became a state in 1912 on February 14th, Valentine's Day, so it earned the nickname as the Sweetheart State. Now, I can definitely say Arizona can be a very romantic place. There are many times that I've gone out into the desert with a lady and be able to go out stargazing. I've found very few places to where I can stargaze like I can out in Arizona. When you get outside of the cities, the stars just completely, or I should say the skies are completely lit up with the Milky Way, the stars and planets. Constantly being able to see meteor showers, absolutely stunning. With that being said, with all its beauty that comes with Arizona, also comes with the apparitions of Arizona. And Arizona is definitely not short on ghost stories. Being a very popular place in the last few decades of growth, but it's also historical Wild West history. There's a lot of violence that came with that. And according to many theories out there, of very popular theories, basically where there's great violence, it seems to leave behind spirits or echoes of those spirits. And a lot of times an echo of that evil. And you can find that in a lot of states where the expansion of the frontier and the search for gold and stuff like that, such as like the state of Montana, has some very interesting ghost stories when we get there. Obviously, Texas, California has plenty of its own. And so we're going to hit a few spots because there's just too many that I could think of for the state of Arizona where we will be looking at some of this crazy stuff. So I will go into some of the more popular locations that people may or may not know of. Probably one of the most popular places, known as probably one of the most famous gunfights ever, is that of the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona. And Tombstone has a lot of haunted places, one of those being the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone. Now, if you don't know where Tombstone is, it's located southeast of Tucson, just north of Bisbee, Arizona. And it is one of the oldest places in Tombstone, opening in 1881. And it gained a reputation of being one of the wickedest theaters by the New York Times that was between New Orleans and San Francisco. And for over 8 years, the theater operated as a basically 24/7, serving alcohol, prostitution, all sorts of stuff. And at least that we know of, at least 26 people have been killed there. When you go visit the Birdcage, you can literally see hundreds of bullet holes that still are in the walls. And it's said that it is haunted by the spirits of the prostitutes that were there and the cowboys that died there. And in many cases, these are not very friendly ghosts, causing a lot of mayhem and mischief long after their death. As we move along through Tombstone, one of the things we should mention is the streets of Tombstone themselves are said to be lingering, to have lingering spirits. One is supposedly the ghost of Marshal Fred White, who was accidentally shot by one of the leaders of the cowboys, Curly Bill, on October 28th in 1880. White was the first marshal of Tombstone and had gained respect of the Clanton gang. In fact, had arrested cowboy members on several occasions, rarely having a problem in doing so. It is said that in the early mornings of October 28th, Curly Bill and several of his cowboys were making sport, so to speak, by shooting up the town. When White came out to disarm the gunman, he was accidentally shot. In the growing, And it was thought that White would make a full recovery, but a couple days later, he wound up dying. In fact, if you've ever seen the movie Tombstone with Kurt Russell in it and Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday, this is in the scene, or in the, this scene is in the movie. So, you can get an idea of what happened. But it says that his ghost still lingers patrolling the streets of Tombstone. Instead to be an apparition of a cowboy moving along with a long black frock coat, and as can be seen on several occasions crossing the road, or often seen where Virgil Earp was ambushed and shot in the arm, crippling him for life. Many believe this may also be the spirit of White Earp himself. There also says that there's a woman in white who has been spotted roaming the streets of Tombstone. There are some legends that say that she is a distraught mother whose child died from yellow fever in the 1880s and was so devastated that she took her life, but her spirit was never able to move along. Of course, probably one of the most famous sites in Tombstone is the OK Corral, best known for its gunfight that obviously is of legend. It's made movies about it. In fact, I have been to Tombstone myself and visited. And you ever get that where something is so big and so legendary when you see it that when you actually see what it is, it's kind of like, huh. Not exactly as glorious as the movies make it out to be. Because, quite literally, it's just a small little back alley. Nothing glorious about it. You know, you watch the movies, you got the music going on, you feel the tension. But it's still a great place if you're ever in Tombstone, Arizona. You cannot go without going to the OK Corral. So, if many of you know, this is where the tensions between the Earps and the Cowboys, especially the Clantons, were really starting to build up. And at the time, Marshal Virgil Earp was determined to disarm the men, and this was taking place October 26, 1881. And the shootout only lasted for roughly about 30 seconds. And in that shootout, it left Frank and Tom McLaurie, as well as Billy Clanton, dead. It most likely also involved Ike Clanton, Billy Calborn, and Wes Fuller, and everyone in the Earp party, being Virgil, Wyatt, Morgan, and as well as Doc Holliday. It is said that the OK Corral is haunted by the ghosts of the cowboys that died there, and many people have witnessed seeing apparitions fading in and out, dressed in the original cowboy attire. And in many cases, it is said that these apparitions have their guns drawn, perhaps being a residual haunting of the gunfight itself, and people are just seeing echoes of what happened that day. Now we have one more stop in Tombstone, and then we will talk about a couple other places in Arizona. Tombstone is the place of legends. What can we say? And with legends come ghosts and goblins and demons and all sorts of other ill-mannered things. Not that all ghosts are ill-mannered, but you get the point. So, Boot Hill Graveyard is said to be haunted. You can't have a podcast visiting each and every state without visiting some sort of tomb or gravesite or cemetery. Originally called the Tombstone Cemetery, such as the men at the OK Corral that died in the gunfight, and as well as Marshal Fred White, are said to be buried at the old Tombstone Cemetery, now known as the Boot Hill Cemetery. Also, other people, like the gentleman named George Johnson, who was hung by mistake. There were five men who were hung for the vicious killings labeled as the Bisbee Massacre. Charlie Storm, who was killed by Luke Short, and a dozen other outlaw gunmen, prostitutes. I've had their names laid out the rest there. It is said that people still see dark shadows roam Boot Hill Cemetery. And if you go visit it, it is just north of Tombstone on Highway 80. Some of the tombstones have been kind of restored with originally what was written on them. Usually their names and why they, what they died from. And you can see that it was definitely a much uncivilized time. And it's no wonder that people would see dark shadows and apparitions in such a place. So from there, we're going to move on to my home city of Tucson and hit up a couple stories there. So we'll start off with Hotel Congress, which is believed to be home to a number of ghosts. Some of the most well-known spirits include a man who is often seen peering out from a second-story window, a maid who is always cleaning, and a man with a top hat who struts around in the lobby. It also has stories of suicide, such as Room 214, who has been said that a guest who rented the room killed himself with a self-inflicted shotgun wound. Although the date of this has never been confirmed. It's also said that this is also the place where much of the Dillinger gang was captured. If I do believe right, the story says there was a bit of a shootout. And you can't have a place without a haunted church, right? And so one of the more haunted places, or at least one of the more legendary stories that come from Tucson, is a story of a priest that was walking down the streets of Tucson who peered out the corner of his eyes and thought he was being followed by a large dog towards what is known as this, Santa Cruz Church on South 6th Avenue and East 22nd Street. He felt that the creature drew closer and closer, and thus picking up his own pace until he was able to reach the doors of the church. And as he reached out towards the door, he turned to look to see that his stalker was not a dog at all, but a beastly creature of hell with hooves and horns. But as soon as the priest touched the door, the creature disappeared. And at the Cathedral of St. Augustine, it is said that there's a phenomenon there known as the Faceless Nun, who has been really reported across several churches throughout the world, if not hundreds of churches. And it seems to be a strange archetype that definitely follows churches and convents and places that either currently are or once occupied by the Roman Catholic Church. And speaking of nuns, it's also said that, as pretty much all hospitals are pretty much haunted, but there is a particular phenomenon at the St. Mary's Hospital in Tucson, Arizona, of a story of a hall, of a nun that walks the halls, alerting staff when a patient is in trouble. Often hearing voices and footsteps in the hall when nobody's around, some staff members have experienced this apparition in various places, including those who take the elevator, as the nun is always leading staff to help patients in trouble. So moving on from Tucson to Jerome, Arizona. Jerome, Arizona is just an all-in-all-out spooky little ghost town, mining town, that is just purely haunted, like many cities and towns that were built during the Gold Rush and the Silver Rush and the Copper Rush, really. Jerome has built quite a reputation of having a lot of haunted places. One of them happens to be the Jerome Grand Hotel. And it is really nicely located, perched above downtown Jerome, high upon what is called Cleopatra Hill. It originally had served as United Verge Hospital, which opened up in 1927. It was originally constructed by the United Verte Copper Company for its employees and their families. The hospital was a much-needed facility in the town as the population of the town had grown to over 15,000 people. By the 1930s, this five-story Spanish missionary-style building and its facilities was written up as one of the most modern and well-equipped hospitals in Arizona. But like the copper company itself, the hospital couldn't survive once the copper deposits were all tapped out. And the townspeople moved on to other opportunities, to other cities, and the hospital closed in 1850. So for the next 44 years, it stood abandoned. However, in 1971, it was maintained to be used for emergency situations. I have not heard of why that may be. My guess is a lot of it has to deal with the Cold War at the time and rising tensions with the Soviet Union. But in 1994, the building was purchased by the Athier family, and they restored it to its current glory, as we now know as the Jerome Grand Hotel. The hotel officially opened in 1996, but it didn't take long before stories of ghostly patients being seen walking through the halls and through the buildings, the spirits of staff that used to work there long past. The hotel staff could say they could hear people talking, moaning, cries of distress, coughing, pretty much sounding like what you would find in a hospital. And some people think that these are the spirits that lingered, especially from the Spanish flu that hit, especially in 1972 in the area. Although technically the hospital wasn't even built at that time, but these are the legends that people come up with. There have also been reports of a spectral soul, a spectral woman dressed in white. And one of these days we'll have to talk about the woman in white, because that is a huge phenomenon throughout every corner of the world. Says that this woman in white could be seen on the balcony shortly after its opening. In fact, it is said that this apparition was actually seen back when it was still a hospital. So that is kind of an interesting phenomenon right there. There are stories of seeing phantom nurses. And these are just but a handful of stories that go with the Grand Hotel in Jerome, Arizona. Now we're going to make one last stop. There are a lot of places. I've already talked a lot about Arizona, especially when it came to Tombstone, because it's probably one of the most haunted places. And Jerome is definitely a place that's filled with a lot of hauntings. In fact, many ghost hunting groups have gone out there to do some ghost hunting and have found much success. So with that, we are going to end one last store, and that is the Lost Dutchman's Gold Mine outside of Phoenix, Arizona, in the Superstitious Mountains. So, the legend of the Lost Dutchman's Gold starts at the Superstitious Mountains, which was inspired by the Pima people and has always been a source of legends and mysteries in very early times, long before settlers from the West came. It's a very beautiful area that has a lot of ancient cliffs, caves, and former dwellings, showing basically the signs of inhabitants in the past. It is believed that the Pimas and eventually the Apaches occupied parts of the region, although even though the Pima people were there earlier, the Apaches are more associated when it comes to the Superstitious Mountains. And it was really a stronghold for the Apache people in the 1800s. It is said that during the 1840s, the Portela family of northern Mexico supposedly developed some rich gold mines within the Superstitions, carrying the gold back to Mexico, started in 1848. And according to some of the legends that happened there, the party was ambushed by Native Apaches, and pretty much all were killed except for two family members who were able to escape to Mexico, and it was later known as the Massacre Grounds. And from my understanding, that the gold mine never reopened. They left it alone. But in the 1870s, Jacob Waltz, known as the Dutchman, even though he was originally of German origin, said to have located the gold mine through the aid of the Portela family, or a member of the Portela family. And Waltz and his partner, Jacob Weiser, worked the mine and allegedly hid one or more caches of the gold in the Superstitious Mountains. Most stories place the gold in the vicinities of what is called the Weaver's Needle, a well-known landmark. It was there that Weasel was killed by the natives, or in some stories, by Waltz himself. It's said that when Jacob Waltz's health was failing, he moved to Phoenix, where he died 20 years later in 1891. Supposedly, the story goes that the mine's location was described to Julia Thomas, a neighbor who took care of him prior to his death, although neither she nor dozens of other seekers who came years and years afterwards to find the Lost Dutchman's gold mine were ever able to find the gold mine. In fact, in many cases, it seems to be those who go search out for the lost gold tend to have bad things happen to them. Either people have died or severely injured or become sick. Much kind of like the North American version of the Tomb of King Tut, with curses and the things of the light. I hope you enjoyed these stories. Sorry I fumbled around a lot there. It's a lot of stories there. I guess it comes with a little bit of pride of your home state. I think we will be starting to hit up some of the spooky season, because there's so many subjects to cover when it comes to the dark times. No, I'm just kidding. Of the Halloween season. And to me, Halloween starts September 1st. And I do have a story I would like to share from one of our listeners. I'm very looking forward to that, and hopefully, possibly an interview. If things go well, I am having some technical issues when it comes to making phone calls and recording here. So with that, on the side of the veil of the next, farewell.